Scripture reading is Mark 2, 27 and 28. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath.
Last week we looked at the Bible as a personal guide for life and the Word of God for His children. Asked some questions about that. And the Bible, is the Bible capable to help guide our lives in today's society? Are we wise enough to allow the Bible to guide our lives today? How does the Bible, if used properly, help us to face and cope with the issues that face us today? Now, he spoke of four home terms that we all need: the Bible, salvation, obedience, and the Sabbath. The Bible, the milk of the Word and its power, salvation through Jesus Christ alone. And this week we'll look at obedience to the Ten Commandments and the Sabbath to be observed by all. We see that, so we know that we can do this. And looking at the obedience, we know that we have to look at our own lives to see the obedience that we've had as we've grown up to where we are today. But let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to thank Thee so much this morning for being our Creator, for not willing to start over again, and that through the plan of redemption that we might have eternal life, through the plan of redemption to be redeemed, we who deserve nothing but death, but through our Lord Jesus Christ and His merits as He came to this earth as a babe in a manger, and to live the life as an example for us, to show us a Father in that ultimate sacrifice on Calvary's cross, where His shed blood covers our sins. And then the resurrection morning, when He was raised and returned to His rightful place beside the Father, the Ancient of Days. And Father, we just pray that through Thy Word, that we may understand these things and to know our Lord Jesus Christ and to take that pathway that leads to the eternal kingdom that is promised to each and all of Your children. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, the first one, obedience. Probably all of you were saints compared to when I was a child and all that I went through. Obedience, we look at it, we know that as we've grown, we want obedience from our children just like our parents wanted obedience from us. Whether we gave it or not, maybe we gave obedience when we knew that we would gain something by it. But then the disobedience that we gained. But as I've said before, I knew when it was coming because I had a chance to get a book in my pants so it wouldn't hurt so bad. And my mother was a disciplinarian in our house, much more than my father ever was. But we know that obedience, we have to be obedient to God's word. We were born subjects, and to obey God is perfect liberty. He that does this shall be free and happy. Seneca spoke those words. And we know that obedience is a test of a genuine Christian. If you would turn to Matthew 12:50. Matthew chapter 12 in verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So we know that we have to have obedience. In obedience, the danger of pretense without conformity. Luke chapter 6. And 46. Verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Obedience, the characterization of those who do not obey. 1 John 3:4. The test of the love for God. John 14:15. Where if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then obedience to the Ten Commandments is a standard for all people. Matthew chapter 19, verse 10. There's three things with that. Obedience required of all the Ten Commandments. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, if you would look there. Matthew 5, verse 19. All familiar verses for us. Whoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So we know that we need obedience. Obedience to all the Ten Commandments. We know that obedience is not a means of salvation. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. That's one that we'll look up. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Obedience does not make grace and faith unnecessary. We know that we still need that faith and that grace that is given to each and every one of God's children. We see on a church sign, think metric, observe the Ten Commandments. We know that we need to keep those Ten Commandments in our minds and our hearts at all times, to obey them to the letter of the law. We know that obedience means to act on God's instruction. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 17. John chapter 7, verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So we see that. We see that God's instruction is similarly comprehended in the Ten Principles in Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17. Number one, loyalty. Thou no God shall have but one. Worship. Before no idol, bend the knee. Reverence. Take not the name of the Lord in vain. Sanctification. Dare not the Sabbath day profane. Respect for authority. Give to thy parents honor due. Love. Take heed that thou no murder do. Purity. Abstain from words and deeds unclean. Honesty. Steal not, for thou by God art seen. Truthfulness. Tell not a willful lie, nor love it. Intent. Contentment. What thy neighbors do not want. And we know that we need to live to the, by these Ten Principles. We've been already been told earlier that obedience to the law is predated at Sinai. Genesis 26, 5. See that? If you look up Romans 4, Romans chapter 4, in verse 15, Romans 4, 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. See that. The law was given before the entrance of the Jews. The ceremonial and judicial statutes were given to Moses for his people. The former ceased to be obligatory at the cross, and the latter ceased to operate when the Jews were scattered as a nation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. We go to the Ephesians 2, 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. We know that the term testimony is applied to the Decalogue, but never to the ceremony or civil statutes. In other terms, for the Ten Commandments are a covenant, or the commandments of God. We know that the consequences of disobedience was even apparent before the Sinai also. Romans chapter 5 and verse 14. Romans 5 and chapter 4, or verse 14. Another familiar verse. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. We see that, and we have to keep these things. The angels recognized the law as the rule of the universe. It was for them also. We see that obedience was exemplified in Christ's life and teachings. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. John 15:10. We know that the wise will obey, and the fools don't. We know that obedience leads to liberty and not bondage. We read that last week in our Sabbath school lesson, James 2:12. Tradition is not to keep us from keeping the law, should not interfere with it in any way. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Mark 7, 7 through 9. Mark chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as he washing of pots and pans, and many other each like things do. And he said to them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. And we know that that's what the Pharisees and Sadducees were accused of doing, and they did do that. We know the beatitude of Scripture in Revelation 22:14. All true obedience comes from the heart, and if we cannot consent, he will so identify himself, and if we consent, he will so identify himself with our thoughts and aims. So blend our hearts and our minds into conformity to his will, that when obeying him, we shall be but carrying out our own impulses. Ellen White, Desire of Ages, page 668. Yes, to carry out our own impulses, to have that life that we need, to constant, to be able to use our tongue in a wise way. And so we look at obedience, knowing that we have to obey the Ten Commandments. We know that sometimes we struggle over that, struggle over one and maybe not get over another one, but if we continue to try and obey them, that we know that through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can obey, and they will be accounted to us as victory. And we'll look at the Sabbath. We've spoken about that quite a bit lately, too, this seventh day that we come in to worship our God and our Savior. Ignoring the Sabbath acknowledges a philosophy that the world relies on my work instead of God's provision. Walter Brueggemann said that. We know that the Sabbath, as well as the law, was predated. Genesis 2, 1, verses 1 through 3. The Sabbath is a primeval institution established for men at the beginning of creation, it and marriage being two blessed things saved from the wreck of paradise. Bishop Warren Candler. We know that the Sabbath is a memorial of creation. Exodus 31, 17. Three things there. God created all from nothing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. You would turn to there. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. 11, verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God uploads all things. Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged out sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ did that at the resurrection. After the resurrection, and went on there 40 days later. God saw that a Sabbath was essential for man in paradise. He made men so that they needed a Sabbath to remind him more vividly of God and to awaken gratitude, because all that he enjoyed and possessed came from the benevolent hand of the Creator. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 48. We know that the Sabbath is a commanded institution. Exodus 28 through 11, the fourth commandment. It is an eternal blessing. 1 Chronicles. You would turn to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 17. 17. 1 Chronicles 17, 17. And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O God, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and has regarded me according to the statue of a sign, a man of high degree, O Lord God. It was observed before Sinai, Exodus 16, verses 26 and 28. It was observed by the Old Testament prophet, Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. It will be surely safer to observe the seventh day according to the express commandment of God than one of the mere human conjecture to adopt the first, John Milton. The seal is the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the seal of the Ten Commandments, Romans 4:11. The Sabbath reveals his name, for in 6 days the Lord. The Sabbath reveals his authority he made. The Sabbath reveals the dominion which over he rules, heaven and earth. The Sabbath, the birthday of the world, HMS Richards. The fourth commandment authenticates the whole law, revealing its great originator, and without it, the ten has no validation. We know that the Sabbath was observed by Christ and his followers. Luke 4:16 and 20, verse, chapter 23, 55 and 56. It was expected to be observed after Christ's death. Matthew 24:20. The New Testament church celebrated the Sabbath. Acts 13:14. The Sabbath was made for all men, not just for the Jews. Mark 2:27 and 28. The Sabbath will be observed on the new earth. Isaiah 66, verses 22 and 23. The Sabbath is a memorial of redemption. Exodus 16:28. The Sabbath is a sign of physical rest and spiritual renewal. His observance of the Sabbath was an acted out parable inviting all men to find their rest in him and were made for the fellowship with him. Matthew chapter 11, if you would turn to that. Matthew chapter 11. We know that the Sabbath is a beautiful day, every Sabbath that we have it, no matter what the weather, that we can have to truly observe the Sabbath and have the love for it that we need to have for it. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Sabbath is a sign of God's sanctifying, creative, and redeeming power. Exodus 20, verse 20. The Sabbath will be restored in the last days. Revelation 12, 17. Revelation 12, 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. A work of Sabbath reform is to precede the salvation which Peter says will be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. 1, 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. A Sabbath well spent brings a week of content and health for the toils of the morrow. But a Sabbath profound, whatsoever may be gained, is a certain forerunner of sorrow. Sir Matthew Hale. Yes, the Bible. Salvation. Obedience. The Sabbath. Four truths that God's children need to have, and that we need to share with others, and to share with each one of us here, so that we truly can know that we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, we have the surety of eternal life, the surety of one day being with our Savior. We see this world as it is, the drawing power that it has against many people. We pray that we don't get drawn into it. And if we keep our eyes upon Jesus, we keep our eyes upon the cross every day, we can be His. We won't have to let that world draw us in. And I pray that each one of us doesn't do that, that we will all meet on the sea of glass. We'll be presented our crowns and our stars. And then we will be presented to the Father one by one by our Savior and our Redeemer. What a glorious time that is going to be. And I pray that each one of us will be there. Yes, our Heavenly Father, we pray that we let nothing between our Savior and ourselves. We thank Thee, Father, that we may be strong and courageous, not to be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Thank you for such promises. In Jesus' precious name, amen.